This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome to the Duntire Roundtable. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, joined now by Sal Capaccio. And the football world is talking about Tua and his injury and the sequence of events here for the Dolphins going back to the Bills game on Sunday. We, of course, will spend more time on that. But Sal, before we do that, if it's all right, just with all the injuries right now, what's the update today? I guess I heard Davis said he's playing Sunday, so that's good.
Yeah, it's important to remember that the NFL a while ago, a couple of years ago, eliminated the probable designation because what happened was pretty much they did a study and I guess 95 or 99% of the guys who were listed as probable over a certain year period actually played. So they figured, okay, it just doesn't matter anyway if it's probable he's going to play. So they only have out, questionable, and doubtful. And doubtful is even rarely used. So some of the guys you see as listed as questionable, actually would probably be probable in a lot of instances.
Under the old terminology. Yeah, yeah,
that's right. So I'm guessing that maybe Gabe Davis would be in that boat. For him telling reporters I'm playing. I spoke with Dawson Knox in the locker room, a couple days ago. He told me he felt good and it was just some general soreness in his back and his hip. Dane Jackson has been out there in a limited capacity this week. We'll see it. Obviously, I think he is questionable given his injury. I think, just judging by the way it went last week, I think Mitch Morse was probably close to playing. I think it was a little short of a week. He came back and played against the Titans in the game he injured it, and then he didn't play the following week. And then, we know that Jordan Phillips is out and, Benford and Kumerow. Poyer's another one. I mean, I don't know exactly where that stands. I'm not saying he's not questionable. He would probably is a legitimate questionable. But I think that this looks more encouraging than discouraging at this whole report and knowing what I know about some of these players and how they've gone about it.
Dane Jackson, by the way.
Yeah,
sorry, Bulldog.
And you didn't mention Bates either. Bates sounds good, right?
That's right. Thank you, because it's important to note if Ryan Bates, he's been in the concussion protocol. He was he was upgraded every single day. DNP on Wednesday, limited on Thursday, full participant on Friday, no game status. That means he's playing. So early in the week, Deion Dawkins was out with a non-COVID illness. So I'm assuming now this is on if Morse plays. We don't know for sure, obviously. If Morse plays, they'll have their starting five offensive linemen because the only people who would be out on the offensive line then would be Tommy Doyle, be the only person, and he's a reserve. So, like I said, I think it actually sounds, it looks lengthy. There's no doubt. There's a lot of names. I don't think it's really discouraging other than maybe a question about what's going on in the secondary, and that might hinge on Jackson and Poyer.
We've got more important things to get to, but you mentioned Doyle there. Did I hear that he, even on the way home, told either his position coach or McDermott himself, I'm fine, and then they found out he had a torn ACL that he obviously played on for some duration of the game?
I think that might be the case. I know they knew something was wrong. I don't know exactly that quote, but he did play on it. He played five or six snaps, or he heard it, and then he played the rest of the game, which is crazy. He pushed through, and he said that he knew that they didn't have anybody else, basically. They were down to – they had Tommy Doyle, who was a normal tackle playing guard. They had a normal practice squad guard, Greg Mance, playing center. There were a lot of circumstances in that game, and not an excuse. It's football. Things happen. But I still think, considering everything they were up against with all of that, with the Heat-related stuff, you know, they still put up 500 yards of offense close to it and still almost won the game.
One question I've wanted to ask you this week is, so, and Bulldog has been talking this way too, like in questions. I remember one yesterday. Yeah, it's hot. We've seen the Bills play in Miami many times over the years. Was this one different? And, you know, maybe it was. Players cramping and everything the Bills went through, the 90 plays. How hard is it to recover from a game like that, Sal? So they still have the next week on the schedule. They still got to go through their practices and everything like that. I mean, maybe the Bills played it slow with certain guys. I don't know. I just wonder if for the guys like Diggs, you know, who were on and off the field all day, how much is it? How much do I want to assume that they're full strength for week four?
It's a great question. I actually asked Sean McDermott kind of the same thing when we met with him on Wednesday, and he didn't get into specifics as far as what they're doing. But I did ask, what's that recovery look like? What's the last 48 hours look like? And, you know, he just kind of alluded to, you know, getting the guys back and getting them ready to play the Ravens. But no doubt, it's a big deal, right? You drain all these fluids, you're cramping. You got to go on the plane after the game. I'm sure, you know, right away you're doing. I will tell this. I don't know if we've talked about this, but in the locker room after the game, I've talked with other media members who agree with me. It wasn't just me. They looked spent. I mean, it's not often you go in the locker room and see these guys that looked as drained as they were. They were completely drained. And that process has to start kind of immediately. And then, you know, you get back home Monday, Tuesday, you got to get your fluids back in you. And you have to have a detailed plan, you know, with the training staff to get everybody back. I think having the short week to prepare for Miami hurt them a little bit. But obviously, luckily here, they're playing not like Miami did, right? Miami, even though the defense was on the field 90 plays and they're not in the sun like the Bills were the whole game, I still think that was challenging, getting them ready to play on a short week. Not necessarily the case with the Bills, but it is challenging still after you go through that to make sure that you're ready to go. And I'm quite sure they monitored that. By the way, this is where that sports science stuff all really comes into play. These guys wear trackers, like in the inside of their shoulder pads, how much work they do, it's tracked. And I bet you a lot of that was, hey, after what happened on Sunday, let's make sure we're only getting this much work in or doing this much on certain days.
Okay. Tua, Sal. So you were on the field Sunday, of course. Mm-hmm. Everybody is weighing in on how negligent, or if they were negligent, Miami has been here. We all watched this game Sunday and were probably, to some degree or another, worried for exactly what happened last night, even though the Dolphins talked about his back and his ankle. What's your perspective?
I was worried about him and thought there was some negligence going on Sunday afternoon when he got hurt. I was 20 yards away from him maybe when he originally got hit and pushed by Matt Milano and sat up. And I've seen it many, many times in football. From Pop Warner to high school to college to the NFL, where a guy sits up and or stands up or whatever, and then he puts his hands to his helmet and shakes it a little bit in order to kind of get himself right. You know, you want to use some cliches. Bell rung, knocking the cobwebs loose, mm-hmm. right? Something like right. that. Shake the cobwebs off. It seemed to me like he was doing that at that very moment. He sat up, put his helmet on his hands on his helmet, kind of shook his head a little bit, maybe even tapped himself.
Yep.
Looked like he was going to take off his chin strap. Never did. Melanie Collins is standing right next to me from CBS. We both looked at each other with this look like, oh, my God, this is not good. When he got up, and it might have been actually after he wobbled, which we did that, but we both saw this. He gets up, he wobbles, and we're all like, oh, my God. And immediately I'm talking to Greg Harvey in my microphone, our producer. Hey, Tua just went down. Tua just went down. I want them to see it because I don't know if they saw it on the radio side because the play's on the other side of the field. There's right. a penalty, and I'm yelling, Tua just went down. So I'm watching this in real time. He goes off the field, and I want to make it clear. The biggest thing for me is I have never, ever, in my 9 years as a sideline reporter, had a report of a player from the team being evaluated for a head injury and then later say it wasn't a head injury. That is the first time in 9 years that's happened. And it's not like they went on the field, looked at him and said, by the way, guys, hey, everybody, we're valuing for a head injury out here. Like, they didn't, like, yell that to us. They had a good 15, 20 minutes. And right. then they said, he's being evaluated for a head injury. They brought him into the locker room, had time to look at him and say, we are evaluating him for a head injury. The team put that out there. And then he comes back and it's a back injury. So to me, there's negligence somewhere there. I don't know who to put it on. I'm at a loss kind of to where to point the blame here, but someone needs to be blamed. You guys can chime in on all that if you want. I have something about the bigger picture I'd like to say, but I just think that part of it, going back to Sunday, really bothered me.
Yeah, I think it really bothered Sal, a lot of people, and you know, we've talked a lot about it already. I'll just say, for the credit McDaniel gets for being sort of this forward-thinking, new-age players guy, I thought he sounded like Mike Ditka talking after the game last night. I mean, I just thought it was an embarrassment how he sounded about minimizing the – like, well, you know, it's nothing more severe. It's just a concussion, and, I mean, just that's a giant eye roller worse from, I think, people who know better.
I also think it seemed to me like he wasn't prepped for what was, like, being said. I would think they would tell him, hey, by the way, there's this big onslaught on social media and elsewhere that, you know, people are really upset about how we handled this. And he almost talked as if he didn't know that last night. Like, he just thought, he just kind of talked about the injury. Oh, yeah, you know, he put him out there and he played, and I was told this. Like, he didn't know what the kind of the talk was surrounding it. Maybe he didn't, but that's on PR. You know, they have to let him know that. The bigger thing for me last night, now, of course, horrified watching it, just have a pit in my stomach. I hate seeing it, no matter who it is. It's just horrible to see. What bothers me more than anything, guys, is the bigger picture of we have made so many strides in this game at all levels. You know me. I'm an advocate for football. I love the game. I think it's great even for kids to play, but in the right environment and safe. And I always tell people we should never, ever, ever be the, you know, caveman football, ignore what it is. We should embrace all this science we're learning about it, all the data we're learning about it, and we should really do our best to make sure that we take all of that and make everyone as safe as possible. And you know what? At the lower levels, they have all these USA coaching and clinics, and you have to get certified more than you ever had before. We've done a great, great job. And the people who are supposed to be the biggest and the highest on the food chain in charge of this failed us. And last night was a huge step back in unwinding a lot of that stuff that a lot of us, people who are around kids and coach and preach all this stuff and accept the data and the science and say, hey, we can make this game safer. Let's. What do we know? What do we learn? All of that, a lot of it, got undone last night, and that really makes me mad.
Talk more about the Dolphins saga here, Tua's injury, and Bills-Ravens as we continue the Duntire Roundtable. Sal Capaccio joins Bulldog and me. I'm Mike Shope. This is WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.